Second Kings.
That's where we spent yesterday in Second Kings. Second Kings chapter 23. We got through verse 20, and 21, as we read at the beginning, but I'll repeat it again. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant, of this covenant. And surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem." Now, God is still upset, so this is what we're going to. "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I'll remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I have said my name shall be there." The word cast off is divorce. Get rid of, out of his sight. "Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah?" Which book is lost. "In these days, Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo, wherein he had seen him, and all his servants carried him, and he slew, the Pharaoh slew Josiah." I mean, it's not clear there. "And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulchre. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. And Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And he did evil." Verse 32. As we've seen, if you follow Israel from the book of Joshua and to Judges, for most all of Israel's history, it was apostate. And then every once in a while, they had somebody like Hezekiah, the king, or Josiah, this king, that read the book of the law and was heartbroken for what he was seeing the people do in the name of God. I believe that somewhere there's, I believe that God is heartbroken now equally for what he has seen the people that operate in his name are doing. Now, it describes this evil Manasseh who reigned just before Josiah. Remember? We studied that yesterday. And what he did. What did Manasseh do? What was so evil that God here said he is destroying Judah just like he had destroyed Israel, even destroying the temple, which came to pass at the time of Christ. And I'm going to get in trouble for this, but do you realize that there is no one that says they're a Jew that can prove they're a Jew now? Judaism was a religion of heritage. You had to be of the tribe of one of them. And so all of the people that are Jews now, there's no way to prove them. Therefore, if they're still waiting for Messiah to come, the Messiah can't prove he's Messiah because there's no more genetic records. And so it's kind of sad. It's almost in the same way that place that these people were here, because now we have invented all kinds of things. Helen's here, and she goes to a Messianic Jewish synagogue. But stop and just think of what has happened. The law says that if the proper sacrifice isn't made on the feast of Yom Kippur, that Israel will be destroyed. It was so done with such awe and wonder that the Levites spent months teaching the high priest exactly the right thing to do and exactly the right way to place the blood on this singular day when they could enter into the Holy of Holies. But the Jews now believe that just reading about the Day of Atonement atones. But the Day of Atonement was a Day of Atonement. There is no more, I want to chase off everybody, but there is no such thing as Jew anymore. There's no Jews, there's no Greeks, there's no Americans. From the standpoint of God, there's only a new creation. There's no more Texans or Dallasites or Englishmen or... There's a new creation. And that new creation happened because of a born-again experience. The born-again experience isn't by the will of man. It happened in Pentecost. But just as the seed of wheat or corn or anything else cannot live until it falls into the ground and dies, so the seed that was shed on all flesh, this new creation, cannot live until it falls into the ground and dies. And you are the vessel of that seed. I am a vessel of that seed. So is everybody that ever lived. So there's no... The Bible isn't about history or science or procedure or even feasts or anything. The Bible is about a new creation that doesn't have any home in this universe. But we're instructed to do something. We are instructed to follow... We probably just got a 1993 Cadillac taken back. But we are instructed to follow as examples, for an example, what happened to the nation of Israel. Not that we worship Israel. You've heard me say this story, but I think it's appropriate now. In 1992 or 1993, we got a contract from the nation of Israel through the consul in Houston, and he called me and he said, "Mr. Anthony, we like the work you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And we would like you to look into someone for us. And he named the particular evangelist. That was, I'll say it, Mike Evans from Fort Worth. And he was, the nation, the state of Israel was concerned because there was apparent massive duplicity. I mean, there's always duplicity when Christians go over there and try to convert them because, they go over there and say, oh, we love you. And then they tell them, but if you don't become a Christian after my understanding, God's going to kill you. That's kind of weird. But anyway, he was doing all kinds of what the nation of Israel considered duplicitous things. And so we did, Paul and I did the investigation for him. And furnished them all the information. But before, when he called me, I said, before we talk about this any further, you've got to know that I don't think Jerusalem is any holier than Peoria. And he just broke out laughing. He said, yeah, I know, that's why I trust you. But the idea that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and that we are, our entire foreign policy is directed toward, in the Middle East, is directed toward that's not Israel. And I'm not being anti-Semitic. I'm just not being pro-Semitic. Just like I'm not pro anything except God. And until we see that, we're using this thing. Billions of dollars are raised to rebuild the temple. That's not going to happen. Now, what does all this have to do with what we're studying? Because now you and you are the temple of the living God. And just as Israel here was punished because in the temple that was the type that was standing had adopted all of the customs and ways of being of all of the nations around them, so have you and I adopted in this temple all of the idolatrous practices, all of the groves, all of the images, all of the pillars, because that's all we knew. That's what we grew up with. And that's their excuse. That's what they grew up with. But then something happened. Somebody read the law. And they found out this mystery. That all of the law pointed to one thing. That you can't do it. No one can do it. And the only one that did it was Jesus. So our only response to everything is this instantaneous being. No thought for being. No thinking about being. Just childlike 100% dependence on the Father. And somehow then, we have to get rid of all this crap that we learned. Now I'm going to show you how they got rid of it. That's what we're going to study in the next week or two. Hopefully I'll show you what that means to you. You obviously have to understand that each of you have a Sanhedrin in the temple. The Sanhedrin is your governing body. It's the voices you listen to. Now, some of the voices have been silenced, or you wouldn't hear me for 1 second. If I would have talked to me before that day back in 92 or 72, I'd have just, you're the dumbest SOB I've ever met. You're just stupid, and you don't have any credence. You don't have any credibility. Why should I listen to you? And you just bore me. I would have said that to me. But then something happened. And I saw the mystery of the kingdom of God in Christ. And He fulfilled everything. So now anything other than in Him, in 100% dependence on the Father, to me is as evil as sacrificing dog's blood on the altar. You want to see what? Do you understand? And so all of the things that Israel did, that they just got punished for, that we just read about, are the things that you do every day in your mind. Now, if you don't believe that, then you probably should walk out, because you're, or at least let me know you don't believe it. And this isn't optional. This is what all men do. The whore of Babylon is sitting on the seven mountains. That isn't over in Rome, and it isn't the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. The seven mountains are the seven high places that are in your mind. And they, each of these high places are a particular arena of activity that you do, and all men do. And so all of these things, the pillars, the groves, the all of the pagan images, all of the idolatrous worship and pagan worship is what you and I do every day. When we don't abandon ourselves, when we don't fully repent. We think they had ancestor worship. You have unbelievable ancestor worship. Now, worship doesn't mean you think it's great. Worship means give it breath. Think of your ancestor worship. Think of the thousands and millions of things that you learned to do from your ancestors. And were convinced it was the right thing to do.
I was thinking, you let them control you now, one way or another.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, when you said positive or negative kind of thing, it's like, you know, you may hate your ancestors.
But that, you're still giving a breath. You know, you're still controlled. Remember we talked about shame. You're still controlled by shame. How do you know you're controlled by shame? Well, it's because if anybody knows you well enough, they know a little trick. They can say a word or give you a glance, and boom, you're in rage. Don't pick on Harry, he's sick. That's why. And I'm not saying every believer in the universe has to go through this, but we do. Why do we do? Why do we have to go through it? Because we've seen it. Now, it's the most exciting, incredible trip there is in the universe. It makes everything else in your life boring if you have ears to hear. The idea that all of the going up to the mountains. Let's go to the Buckner chapter just for a minute, since we're doing the introduction. Isaiah 57. It's particularly and uniquely named for him, and it's an honor.
I'm very proud.
Columbia Talmud. Oh, Ola, you're being sacrilegious. That's all I know how to be. I don't know. I just heard somebody's thoughts on the thingy.
I like what you said before of make a good bumper sticker where I'm planning on being.
Yeah.
That's so great, because you never get there.
Right. You just sit around and watch, and you think about it, and that's why.
I'm planning on spontaneous.
Oh yeah. Next week I'm going to start saying what's there. Oh, but I can't, you don't understand. I'm just that kind of person, Ole. I just am a quiet person. I'm shy. Yeah. You're full of pride because you care what somebody's response to you is.
I don't want to be hurt.
Oh, poor you. Poor baby. You want your inner child to be nursed and suckled. I don't want to cuddle that inner child. I want to kill the son of a bitch. Ready for the Buckner chapter? The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth at the heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He, the one that's taken away, shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Now, he's not talking about, that's not just those people over there, that's you and me. You and I. It's one of us. It's you and me. What? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. Every time I read that, I think of John. He used to have to go up to Oklahoma about twice a week. And every time he passes one forest, I'd say, John, tell me which of those trees you haven't committed adultery under. And he'd get so mad. He still does.
We've never
heard that. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed when thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Now, you got to hear me. You send your messengers far off when you leave now. And you try to put God in a place that he isn't. God is always in the eternal now. And so when you go back and regret or forward, you're sending your messengers afar off, just like you would if you would have been in Israel and you wanted to make deals with these people that were they could promise they could help. And you went any place and every place other than waiting on God in total 100% dependence. And then you wonder, why aren't things going right? Do you understand what it means? This, you send your messengers afar off. Ezekiel talked about you try to get me to go where I'm not. He's only in now. He's not in tomorrow. He's not in yesterday. And that's why the being has to be instantaneous. It's the same as with any of the gifts of the Spirit. If somebody says they have any kind of gift, run from them. Thou wentest to the king with ointment and did increase thy perfumes and send thy messengers far off and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, which is the only thing. You've got to come to the place where there is no hope, where the false hopes oh, you know, as long as there's hope, then we'll make it. That's psychobabble bullshit. The only hope in the scriptures is the hope of the resurrection in you. And if that resurrection isn't in you, then forget it. You better go find out what you're going to hope in. And if it is in you, then the kingdom of God is here. Everything is perfect. Everything is finished. And you had better quit ignoring this, the entire Bible, for the sake of a thought. I'm not against thinking, but I'm against thinking. And if you think, and if you already know that everything leads to vanity, you know, that's what it says in the few chapters earlier. Walk in the sparks that you have kindled. Why do you think even in the ancient times an idea was a spark? This was before they had cartoons with little electric light bulb thingies. Aha, I got an idea. It's a spark. It's a spark of genius. No, it isn't. It's a spark of the Antichrist trying to cause you to walk in the light that you have kindled. So you believe in and eat something other than the flesh of the Son. And then you got to pump energy into it. You got to keep it going. That's what the whole basis of economy is. That's why, I mean, we live in an evil world. There's no part of it that's any good. There's no system that is any better than any other system. There's no place that's any better than any other place. And from God's perspective, all sin is equal. And for you, if you heard this, to go any place other than abandonment of self is sin. You might as well offer dog's blood on the altar. You've heard enough. If you go any place other than 100% dependence on God, and He alone controls whether you have satisfaction, He alone controls, He alone is your satisfaction, He alone is your sustenance, He alone is your worth, do you think I made that up about dog's blood? Go to Isaiah 66 just a minute. We're going to just read a couple more verses, and then I promise you I'll shut up and I'll go back to bed or something, and you won't have to listen to me anymore. Did John say promise? I heard his thought. Thus saith the Lord. What?
You said you heard my thought. I said, no, you didn't.
If you did, you'd be much more insulted.
Well, that's why I keep telling you that Mojo is the mother lion. John is the mother lion. I'm sorry. Now I got them both mad at me. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. In other words, they have been, but now they have no purpose. There's no such thing. You can't call a church a house of God. That's just goofy. Millions of people are leaving the church to become the church. I promise you, unless you're taking in the poor and needy, you're not a church anyway, no matter what you say. But watch. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. For he that killeth an ox as the burnt offering is what this is referring to, as the highest order of the sacrificial system. For he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. And he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's head. And he that offers any kind of a sacrifice, an oblation, is as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now, this isn't talking back then. This is right now. And all these little goofy systems of things that you think are important. The only place that you can be is where He is. And He is only 100% in this now. You can't think about it. You can't try to figure it out. You can't try to search for it. The now comes only when you are sick unto death, sated with everything else that you can possibly think about. Now, if you were sated in a particular area, so then you came into the kingdom, then I promise you, the only thing the Holy Spirit's causing you to get upset with everything else, He's not making you a fortune. He's not making you happy. He's not setting up the kingdom of God in Israel. He's not giving you nice little children and happy little families and peaceful governments. He's trying to cause you. The Holy Spirit has one job, to try to reveal to you the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. And it's only in Him, 100% in Him, that you can worship the Father in spirit and in truth everywhere. But you can't divide your world. Because I promise you, that there's a whole big storm building up off the coast. If you try to have this world, this sounds good in morning Bible study, but you don't understand, I got to go out and face the real world. Well, if that's your mindset, there's a storm a-brewing for you, I promise. I went over my time.
You went over the top and over your time.
Did I go over the top?
Cross the line.
Anybody have any response?
Yeah, the final thing that you said helped out a lot. I've forgotten over the last several months that, you know, something that I really knew, or I really believed that the world that I perceive is an illusion and the real world is somewhere else that I don't really see very clearly. But I really do believe that, and I've forgotten it for several months now.
Good.
That last statement helped.
We don't look at, we see. Through. Wherever you look, you will see the New Jerusalem and its perfection, the perfection of its holiness. Nothing else matters. But in that same, because nothing else matters, everything else matters. You can't rank anything. I expected when we started having Sue here that she'd start arguing with me every morning.
too early in the morning for that. Probably.
Yeah, see, never take anybody on that could be tougher than yourself until you've had at least two cups of coffee.
Anybody have any response this morning? Besides Tom? I said some pretty wild things. I'm kidding here. There's somebody. Yeah, I got some response, you friggin' idiot.
There's a show called Wife Swap.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
There's a show called what?
Wife Swap.
You may not be aware of this. It's
they take two women from very different lifestyles and swap.
Is this going to be important?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, last night this one woman was extremely control freak. She made all the decisions for her house, and she picked her husband's clothes out. She allotted 12 grapes per child. her house was perfectly clean. And she made everybody in her house wear a bracelet that said failure is not an option.
Why was she in for a change?
I was thinking we need bracelets that say failure is the only option.
Bracelet. Wait a minute. No, failure is not an option. Getting the fence can be an option. Yeah, you learn something from that. Crashing and burning can be pretty painful.
Walk in the sparks that you have kindled.
I'm just about to be. Watching that show last night, I saw the process of shame, creating a vow, taking action, and then living, being pretending the rest of your life.
Right, and it controls everything.
Shame, vow, action, pretending.
Hypocrisy. Death. Well, shame is at the basis of many of these things we're going to study. We're going to study. We're fixing to study.
Yeah. What I saw last night was that if there's a vow, it's because of shame.
All right. Pray for Ronnie.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.